Hi, this is Kalyan Karmakar, and welcome to my podcast, Foodocracy for Her, where I bring to you stories of women in the Indian food industry. The podcast has taken a bit of a break because, let's say, a health break. I was recovering from COVID and all of that, but I'm back and raring to go. And one thing which happened during this period was a big change in my eating habits, what I call eat better. And you'll see that today's interview is, in a way, linked to that. Before that, let me tell you what I had for breakfast today. So I had what you could call a dosa or a crepe, but which was made with a ragi flour, which is a millet, which is called finger millet, also called nachni in India. So I soaked this overnight, and in the morning our cook made a dosa with it, stuffed with capsicum, onion, and sunflower seeds, and a tomato chutney. So millets, of course, are good for you, good for the environment, and it's part of my eating plan. So apart from the jawar, the ragi, then I've also included a fair bit of jawar millets, like rotis and so on. And also rotis with what you would know as emmer flour, but this is khapli, called khapli locally. So if you've seen the logo, which is common, which is Kokan Bazaar. So Kokan Bazaar is a shop which is there in Dadar in central Mumbai. In fact, in the base of the Shivsena Bhavan. And it was opened 14 years back in 8th July. It was opened by a lady named Nayan Kharapakar. And she was working with women in the Kokan area, coastal Maharashtra, and bringing their produce to an urban market through the shop. And now she has been joined by her daughter, which is whose name is Devika Kotivaskar Kharapakar. And Devika is sort of taking it into new dimensions and new generation markets under the stewardship of Nayan. And 14 years is a long time. And I have known this shop more or less right from the beginning. I used to go there and buy spices. Like this, for example, is the Agri Koli masala, which is used by a community which lives in the outskirts of Mumbai in places like Dombivli and so on. So I was first introduced to the shop by Manisha Talim, a friend of mine and a doctor. And I used to go there doing my food walks, and I introduced people from across the world, across India and across Mumbai as well, to Maharashtrian products and spices and so on at the shop. Later, I myself would go to shop there, as I had recently, and which is when I met Devika as well. And it was interesting to hear their future plans and the directions and how they are expanding beyond just the Kokan or Konkan belt to show produce from across Maharashtra, and how it's not just about food, but it's also about culture and around the kitchen. So you can get mortar and pestles over there, different kind of knives, and new product innovations such as making jamun chips and all of that. But you don't want to listen to me. You want to listen to the ladies behind the Kokan Bazaar story. So in this case, we have, like I said, Devika, who's the daughter-in-law of Nayan, who started it off and who's sort of stewarding it into the next generation, under the leadership of counsel of her mom-in-law. So in a second, we'll have Devika joining us. So here she is, Devika. Devika is, like I said, the second generation of Kokan Bhavan. She married into the family in 2011. The business was, of course, set up in 2008. And Devika has now come into the business. Before that, she had her own corporate career where she worked in places like Godrej and so on in HR and IR and all of that. But before that, Devika, welcome on board, first
thank
of all.
Thank you, Kalyan.
You know, sometimes when you've known each other for a while, you sort of forget to say welcome and all of that. I was showing people, what I had for breakfast, and a lot of people didn't know, perhaps, that Maharashtra also has dosas, which are called amboi.
Right.
Which could be made with rice flour, or what I had this morning was with
that's Kokan
ragi flour.
That's
Kokan Bazaar.
Yes. That's nice.
Yes.
That's nice to see that you had that breakfast.
So I was telling people about having to take a break because of health reasons, and then a lot of changes and how stuff had come in. But before we get into food and all of that, let's talk a bit about Maharashtrian culture, in the context of Mumbai, right? Because it's very different in different parts of the state. Mumbai has its own identity. And yes. In a couple of days, I'm joining a course on conversational Marathi. So next time we can even speak in Marathi.
Oh, nice. Then yeah. Definitely, Kalyan. Yes.
but till then, so Devika is from a place called Shivaji Park in Mumbai, which is of course very famous for various things. Like for example, the Shivaji Park Maidan is where a lot of famous cricketers, Sunil Gavaskar, Sachin Tendulkar, all of that have learned their cricket in. That's where the Dasera Mela happens for yes. Bengalis. I think one of the biggest, biggest Durga Puja happens over yes. there. In advertising, that's where Piyush Pandey's house is close by. I think Brinda Mela also stays close by the artist. Devika, tell us a bit about like the Shivaji Park, Maharashtrian, sort of white collar, middle class culture. And what is there anything unique about that culture versus any other part of the city or of the state?
Right. So Kalyan, I think I'll be a little biased towards Shivaji Park because
Of course you have to be biased.
I've been born and brought up here kind of
If I was speaking to a Girgaon person, then they would have a Girgaon bias. But I want to be a Shivaji Park bias.
So yes, that's gonna be a Shivaji Park bias, most definitely. As I said, born here, grown up here, most of the education happened around, married into a family which incidentally also lives in Shivaji Park, right? So a lot of special memories. As I said, I use the word charm because, the entire place has its own distinct flavor in terms of beat culture, a lot of cultural activities that happen here, a lot of food, a lot of places where you get to, eat good Marathi as well as, even non-Maharashtrian food now, beat your snacks, beat your main course. A lot of, laureates, authors have stayed around.
Tell us about
Savarkar, who stayed in Shivaji Park. There's this place around. And, as you said, a lot of cricketers, a lot of people who probably are not very famous, but write well, poets have been around, good schools, right? So a lot of, a proud Marathi girl that I am, or a proud Maharashtrian, where, you somehow don't feel these things second because, you've grown around there. But it's nice when you live away from Shivaji Park, or it's when you live away from the city, as to some part of my life when I was studying abroad or working, that's where you realize the importance of your roots, your culture, the warmth of the people that's around. And I think it's overall a chilled out place. The Marathi crowd here is quite it's a mix now with the younger generation and the elderly guys around also. So I think it's good mix and chilled out warmth. Please.
Yeah, it's interesting you spoke about the mix because, like you said, it's a very Maharashtrian residential locality. Yeah. But at the same time, for example, the biggest Bengali Durga Puja happens over there.
Yes,
and
that's
the Bengali Kali Bari.
Yeah.
And if you look at food, for example, there is on the Maharashtrian side, there's Prakash, Ashwa, Gypsy Corner, but there's also Gypsy Chinese from the same Gypsy Corner folks.
Yes.
And my wife is a Dadar girl, more near Pritam and that side. But, birthdays and everything was Gypsy Chinese.
Yes.
And then, when I was new to Mumbai in 97, I was told that there are two places where you should stay as a PGite, which was either Bandra or Shivaji Park back then.
And locality. Absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of the girls used to stay there. And also there was and there is Oven Fresh, which is famous for its sandwiches, for its chicken grilled and all that. Now they've turned vegetarian, and a lot of sporting activity, like the cricket, the people walking over there. There's some bit of dating also happens over there. Are there Shivaji Park couples? It's not a leading question.
Yes.
You can let out some secrets of your friends, perhaps.
I think,
like, for example, in Bengal, there's a Calcutta, there's a place called Maddox Square,
right,
where, the Durga Puja, which happens over there, there's nothing really remarkable about the murti or the puja or something like that. But Maddox Square in South Calcutta is where, all the dating couples would go and meet, and you know, we're going to the puja pandal, so parental, you know, so a lot of weddings and breakups and everything can be traced up to there.
Yeah, I'm sure Shivaji Park is a witness to many like these as well, but you know, that's why I use the word mix, where you have elders taking a walk or a stroll, people exercising. It's not just the cricket, it's Mallakhamba, one of our most traditional exercise form in in India.
So it's a martial art, right? Yeah, Mallakhamba.
It's kind of martial art. Mallakhamba is there's this very strong pole, and I should be talking very I'll explain you more properly about it. But the kind of feasibility and the kind of strength that Mallakhamba players or people exercising it require, I think it's one of the ancient exercise forms, is what I can say. Is yoga that happens here, Kali Mata Mandir and Udyan Ganesh, which are right next to each other. It's a very beautiful blend of Bengali ladies in their saris and Maharashtrians on the other side, because it's the adjacent wall. So, you know, a lot of these memories. And now, as you said, there are these Prakash, but then there is this Gypsy, there's this Starbucks. So it's a nice blend of a lot of things. And I cannot think of any other place as home apart from Shivaji Park.
In fact, if I remember right, there's also a club over there. Because, in 99 or something, 2000, when I was still new to the city, and it was my birthday, and I just moved office from my first office. So a colleague of mine from my first office, so him, two, three other of us and I, we went to this club, and I was treating, but three, four of us went there. And suddenly, like, he said that, okay, today there's no ordering alcohol or no like loud talk, or I mean, we were quite well behaved in any case, because that's where his father was a member and people have known him since he was a child. So now at that point he was maybe 27, 28 working and stuff, but he said that here I have to be in my best behavior. There's a club like that, right? A very local club.
A park club near Shivaji Park, is that what you're
where you get dinner and Chinese.
Yeah, so there is park club at Shivaji Park. There is Shivaji Park Gymkhana as well. So a lot of
I think probably the Gymkhana.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. So I mean, we've got a Shivaji Park girl talking to us today about Kokan Bhavan Kokan Bazaar, the enterprise which her mom-in-law actually started off. And you came into this family in 2011 and you've been seeing it and then decided to be a part of it. But tell me a bit about the genesis of Kokan Bazaar. Like, unfortunately, we couldn't get your mom-in-law to join us today.
Yes,
she was busy with work and with the celebrations coming up. But tell us a bit about the genesis of Kokan Bazaar. Tell us a bit about Mrs. Krapkar, her background, what made her start this.
Bazaar started about 14 years back, and it was social entrepreneurship as a model is how it started. And no surprises, because my mother-in-law, Mrs. Nayan Kadokkar, she's a social worker by profession and by heart, is what I should say even now. So she's a Tata Institute of Social Sciences that is at Devanagari Chembur alumni, and has been working over the years at a grassroots level with women entrepreneurs, grooming them, and helping uplift them or empower them. That has been her vision, or is her vision even now. And she used to work across different women, across different regions, as a part of her social work. Kokan, of course, was one amongst the main places where she worked, because that's where her native is.
Okay.
And that's how the story began.
Is she a Bombay girl, or is she born in Kokan?
No, she's also very much a Bombayite, a very much Mumbai, then Bombay, now Mumbai girl.
So she's born in Mumbai.
Yes, her childhood has been predominantly in Parel, and very much a Mumbai girl. But the natives, as I said, or the ancestral land and the house and all of that has been.
I've met her a lot in the early years, in my early interactions with Kokan Bazaar, and when I take people from the food walks. And,
yes,
the food and the beautiful part is that, when you go to a place like Dadar, which is very local in any city, sometimes you need someone who is a bit of a bridge, who can therefore take the local traditions and make translate it to a larger audience. So if we'd just gone into some of the shops in Dadar, where I'm sure there's lovely produce, but we might not have understood as well as what Mrs. Nayan tried to do, and now you're doing, and through Kokan Bazaar, because it made it a lot more relatable. And I think that's a big, big contribution.
Right, right. So I think, yeah, that's what was one of the reasons, and I'll come to probably my bit also in it, Kalyan. But just continuing about her, so you know, that's how she started a few years ago in order to, you know, train some people, some women entrepreneurs back in Konkan. But it kind of did not sail through because when she was grooming the women entrepreneurs there and having their produce, a realistic challenge was there was no marketplace. So that's when in 2008, Konkan Bazaar was conceptualized as our flagship store, which is currently based at Sena Bhavan in Dadar, Shivaji Park. And that's where she started getting their produce or products to give them a platform, right? Mm. And we started with some masala, some jackfruit chips, some handicrafts, and you know, so on and so forth. And in fact, in 2011, she was even recognized by the then Chief Minister Prithviraj Chauhan for her hard work in social work.
Yes.
But as I said, you know, social work was the main lens through which she operates then and even now. And why probably how I joined into it. So actually with not much of a food background or a social work background, I'm a student of industrial psychology and work with different organizations, mostly in.
So are you from TIS as well?
No, I'm not from TIS. I am from SNDT and thereafter Manchester Business School.
You were saying about Manchester. You were saying you did, what did you do in Manchester?
I did my industrial psychology master's.
Okay. No, I was saying because I was in Berlin recently.
Right.
And I came across a lot of Maharashtrians, so like a former colleague of my wife, who's now based there. And then we went there specifically for the Kachriya Batata Bhaji.
Batata Kachriya,
which she used to make for Kainaz and office. And we went there and now her husband was there as well. Then I met Pratna Bhivalkar, who's, you know, from Pune, and she works with academics over there and some of her friends and stuff. And I don't know how you found it in Manchester, but what Pratna was saying was that when she invites people home and locals, she tries to make non-Punjabi dishes for them, because she said that even when there's an exposure to Indian food, it's always more the Punjabi sort of thing.
Yes.
So she'll make it a point, even if it's not necessarily Maharashtrian, but, you know, so I was remembering that when you were talking about Manchester.
I completely agree with you, Kalyan. It's, you know, so typically it's while North Indian cuisine is great and it's fabulous, and who doesn't love butter chicken and rupees, but that's how it is generalized usually. So there's a lot of like this batadacha katsriya or, you know, sabudana vada or thali peet, which is, you know, Maharashtrian and very local and almost prepared.
We use your flour. I didn't get that packet because there's hardly any left out to buy some more. But I had thali peet, I think, day before yesterday. In fact, my mom-in-law was there. She enjoyed it as well. She's Parsi. And she's used to the restaurant one, which is deep fried. So we had the one at home, which is more slow roasted.
Yes. Yes.
Shallow fried, so that's
right. So I remember our talk on Maharashtrian food culinary, but you know, it's some just few things that normally kind of are synonymous with Marathi food or, you know, culture. But there's a lot more to it, and I think that's one of the reasons my love for food, very, very candidly, that, you know, kind of kept me going, or, you know, kind of kept me peeping into Konkan Bazaar along with my mother-in-law. Yeah, you know,
But you were working elsewhere. Like, I know you were working in Godrej.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to work with very good organizations like Hershey Chocolates, Hershey's India, Godrej Properties, with very good mentors, you know, having a good career. But as I said, a little bit of the foodie side kept taking over. And secondly, and most importantly, to unlock the true potential of Konkan Bazaar as a brand and make it more commercially viable. It was a very thought-through decision of me to get into it full-time, get into Konkan Bazaar full-time, right? Because, of course, the intent and the social work aspect or helping everyone is very, very important, and we want to carry it forward. But in order to do that successfully and give back to that community and society and, you know, keep this loop going, I must say, Kalyan, that commercial viability of the project is also very important.
Absolutely.
And I'm being very candid on this. And that's when we were chatting as a family once, and, you know, four of us, like my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, me and my husband have different careers. That's when we were just discussing or chatting about it once, looking at the books. We said that if we really want to take the legacy ahead, whatever hard work has gone in the last so many years, not just my mother-in-laws, the farmers, the women entrepreneurs who have been with us. We needed to get that up to a level in order to make it more commercially viable. And with whatever corporate experience I had, of course, with a lot of help from my husband, who supports me a lot, to get into this, to rebrand the entire brand as Kokan Bazaar, reposition it, right? Use our expertise wherever we have. So, you know, as simple as we started working on our work on the supply chain process of how we procured the products from Kokan to here. How do we work on the logistic cost? How do we, you know, work on the scale of economies? How do we convince the farmers or people, vendors out there that, you know, let's aggregate everything and get it so that it's beneficial for you all also. It's a whole new world for me, a very different world for me.
Also, if I might add over here that, I mean, the entire business was in a sense a bit ahead of its time, because people watching today, listening today might think that, it's good. But the last 2 years have shown, you know, so many home chefs, home entrepreneurs, local entrepreneurs bringing out regional products, foods, and all of that. And it's really the flavor of the thing. But I think that here it's important to remember that this was a business which started in 2008, and probably the planning even before that, which means 14 years. So well before, like, Indian food became trendy, chefs talking about Indian food became trendy, Indian products became trendy. I mean, when people were willing to look beyond, broccoli and then look at fanashi bhaji and stuff like that, which is actually jackfruit has suddenly become sexy. But you know, if you're from Bengal, if you're from Maharashtra, you've had. But you've done all of this well before, and I'm glad that you've now seen that how to take it. I mean, to take this effort and take it to the next level, because the entire community grows along with that.
Not just us, it's the entire chain who are into this. And I'm so glad, Kalyan, that you mentioned this. And, you know, if I may take the liberty of saying that, you know, as you rightly said, long before Eat Local became the buzzword, the hard work was happening for a very, very long time. And that's when my decision of changing from a corporate career and transitioning into this happened, where it was needed to tell this story to everyone. And I'm sure there are many good brands and many good people working on it, and they should. But even, you know, our attempt of, you know, reviving the age-old traditions and customs, right? In the world of ready-to-eat food, reviving your age-old recipes, the heirloom recipes, you know, keeping the authenticity intact, maintaining the quality. So all this work which was happening at, for a lack of a better word, a small scale or a social work scale, we wanted to get it to a commercial scale, just so that all the city dwellers or, you know, the non-Marathi population or customers, or cosmopolitan customers also start identifying, understanding it, and, you know, start getting things from us. So somewhere...
Yeah, like one example would be, like, for example, when one took, say, a certain masala, say it's the Malwani masala, then we look up, say, on the internet to see how to make a Malwani chicken, and, it also introduces... also some of the innovations you've done, like you were talking of jackfruit chips, but now, like, for example, the jamun chips, which you've done, which therefore takes the jamun thing to a longer period, and then stuff. Right. So that's an interesting insight, because your mom-in-law, Mrs. Nayan, came from a social worker's perspective of sort of helping, the society and getting them engaged, and that too with a focus on women. And then what you are also doing is that to see how to scale it, because if you don't scale it, then after a while, you know, it's a small part of society which benefits from it. Yes. But if one took things of some of the very famous things, like, for example, Lijjat Papar. I mean, it started as a small thing, and or even Amul, the cooperatives. And,
yeah, absolutely.
So, what made you sort of decide that you're going to now leave the corporate world and certain corporate stability, certain, you know, career achievements and salary and all of that, and to get into this area which you're not that familiar with.
Yeah.
Also, like, you're a Shivaji Park city girl, like, unlike your mom-in-law who's in social sciences and probably has traveled all across. And this is something which requires you to go into the hinterlands of Maharashtra and expand beyond Kokan. So in a way, it's a very different... it's sort of pushing you out of your comfort zone, isn't it?
Yes, it was. It was, and sometimes it is. Sometimes even now, after so many years.
And you also, you know, the young mother, so you have to also look after that. And
yeah. So I think a lot of. So it was a thought through decision, as I said, right? We used to often this entire concept store when it started probably small, and you know, it obviously we built it over the years. And all four of us, and now my daughter, she's still 3.5. But all four of us as a family believed in this as a concept. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my husband.
What did a father-in-law do? A father-in-law and husband?
He's a marine engineer. So
he's a marine engineer.
Yeah, that's why I said very varied fields, you know. But very enthu people, very supportive. So they.
So
said,
he would fail. Mom so would be fail. Social sciences. Yeah, and a husband is a...
He is a global demand planner. So he got his supply chain and,
So that experience is what some of it is also coming. No,
yeah, yeah, very much, yeah. Very much. And then we often are at loggerheads and I'm like, thank God I don't work with you. So that's a lighter mode, but no, it does help. So, you know, there are often these dining table conversations, Kalyan, that, you know, and all three of them used to always tell me that you should get into it, you know, the way you talk about it, the way you give it a face. The brand and to the name, and I said no, I can't do that. I would love to see my SMS on 26th of every month.
The salary, yes, but
those are on the lighter notes. And then over the years, as I said, it was a thought through decision that I'll get into it full time because we wanted to know increase the range of products that we have, right? Just tying back to the point, when you said that Marathi food is just the North Indian, that's synonymous with
Indian food
is the North Indian, sorry. In Kokan, very often, and I may be wrong, but very often people feel when they say Kokan, it's just about mangoes and cashews. Right?
And seafood,
yeah. In fact, a lot of people, when they used to come to our store, so our store is this right below Sena Bhavan, and there's a huge statue or, Korean is a fisherman lady, with, you know,
some fish,
the statue is there outside depicting our decor. So a lot of people, Kalyan, not used to enter Kokan Bazaar, the Marathi vegetarians in Dadar, thinking that Kokan is just going to be seafood, right? So that's the perception. While it's good for some, but not for the others, right? So I come from mainly a vegetarian eating family. Now into this family.
Vegetarian, you were in a vegetarian family.
Vegetarian family. So before marriage, I ate more of vegetarian food.
And now everything.
I used to eat even non-veg before also, but you know, more of vegetarian, like everyday staples.
Exactly.
And as a mother to a three-year-old, so there were a lot of factors that contributed. So one is I wanted to tell the world or tell at least a few people around that, look, Kokan is not just this. There are a range of products.
Your background also Konkan? Your mother's side, your maternal side? Are you also Konkan?
Kind of Konkan, Maharashtrians only. Hmm. But then there is this community called as Karade Brahman in Maharashtrians. There is a lot of caste and subcaste. But and no non-veg at all. So I think more.
Unlike the GSB Brahmins who are like.
Yeah, the GSB who eat fish probably every day.
Or the CKPs and so on.
This is like very, very strict vegetarian. So, Batanacha Katria is definitely what we have it at home. At Ai Baba, as I would call it. Right. So, you know, a lot of factors were playing on my mind that, dude, it's not just this, you know. And I often tell it to people when you say eat local and everything has become a fad now. There are these lot of greens, even as simple as greens. Like you have kulit, which is your horse gram. You have kadvewal, which is your field lentils or bean lentils, if I use the word correctly. And there are many other like these pulses, which are grown in Kokan, the coastal areas of Kokan, very natural, very seasonal, have much more proteins than even your one bowl of chicken or, any of these Western things that we consume. Not that we shouldn't, but then there are these things easily available, which is locally grown and, you know, which we should eat locally. You know, why not? So maybe, you know, get those things also. When I became a mother of a three-year-old, I said, no non-stick pans in the house. I'm going to cook only in all healthy things. And, you know, there is our cast iron, which has been in Kokan since generations, since our grandmothers. We had a little bit of it at Kokan Bazaar. And, you know, that's how my journey began with my mother.
Even the knives for cutting and all that.
The cutters,
And but, you know, it's interesting that you're bringing this because a lot of new generation people, like
right.
Even whether they're Maharashtrian, Bengali or whatever, then you feel that, okay, like, you know, I have bought cast iron stuff in the past from, you know, fairs and so on. Then after a while, like, you know, it rusts and so on. Right. So yesterday I bought a dosa pan and I must be honest, I bought a nonstick because, you know, it's just difficult to maintain.
Yeah.
So you need someone who's like you or like us to sort of say that, no, it's not, you know, it is very doable. If I'm doing it, why can't you?
Right.
And the fact is that I am a Shivaji Park girl. So I'm a Bombay girl. It's not that I'm a girl from Kokan or, you know, Kolhapur. I am also a city girl like you.
Right. Yeah. So I think, you know, so that actually these were these real conversations that used to happen on the dining table, right? That let's get some more variety. Why is there just one pan? If I want to make something for my daughter, can we get more? And, you know, that's how this idea happened. Okay, let me just try and, you know, source more things. Tell people that how, you know, A, affordable, B, easy to use, you know, C, easily available things are, and let's get all this at Kokan Bazaar and, you know, make basically Kokan Bazaar a one-stop shop for a lot of Kokan things, you know, be it your everyday essentials, your staples like grains, atas, spices.
And like you said, I mean, it's not, it's staples in a sense, but also utensils, also snacks, then some innovations like, I remember there was something which you told me, which you've created, which is very good for children, like, you know, for infants, keeping your child in mind. You created like a porridge sort of thing.
Ragi,
you know?
Sattva, yes, yes. So ragi is natsani basically, which is often known as ragi for the non-Maharashtra.
Ragi, natsani.
But
this is of course Amboi.
This is the Amboi, yes.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, and actually my daughter loves dosas. So I can't really give her pudding and rice every single day. She can eat it every single day, but I wouldn't, right? So then why not ragi? And that's how, you know, we started curating these recipes. Now, these recipes have been heirloom recipes. Some, most of my mother-in-law, her mother-in-law.
Right? So how do you go about getting these recipes?
So, as I said, these have been a lot of discussions and conversations over the years. And we have tapped into a lot of families in Kokan. And now even actually out of Kokan, where, you know, my side of family, my grandmother, right? Some of the recipes.
Which part of Maharashtra is your side? Because you said Kharapkar, Brahmin.
Right, Karade.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to, I think.
Karane, Brahmin. So which part of, geographically, is it?
So mainly it would be Kokan only. It would be again tracing back to Kokan, but not.
But the more vegetarian.
More of the vegetarian.
So in a Malwani restaurant, that one vegetarian thali which is there is, you guys are responsible for that. You guys, it's for you guys. If you go to Chaitanya, the, you know, there's prawn thali, fish thali, crab thali, and then there'll be one vegetarian thali. Or in Malwani,
that's still the Malwani vegetarian thali with food and everything. Because I walk a lot at Chaitanya. So we did go about getting the recipes like this in terms of talking.
So have you tried to sort of systematize it somewhere for your internal purposes?
Yes.
Is it like a logbook or?
There is. And that's why I said that, you know, that's why the entire transition where we realized that someone full-time is needed into this, where we, you know, decided as to, okay, what do we want? Where do we draw that boundary of, you know, having what all from Kokan, right? So let's say food and kitchen related items and your handicrafts, because Kokan culture is not just about food, but while it is predominantly about
food. Will you keep saris? Saris?
So, you know, that was actually one of the questions when we went about the exercise calendar. Because there were, you know, then the options can be limitless. So, of course, I have in my family, my side of family, a very good mentor. And he's also from the advertising background. And we often go to him whenever we get stuck. And that's when he told us, Devika, always define where you want to be, at least in the first phase of your transition.
Yeah.
And that's when he gave us that defining line, which is what we resonated with, that keep it food and kitchen related. Right,
so a bit around Konkan is okay if you want to make it expand to rest of Maharashtra, but food and kitchen.
Expanding
a bit beyond Konkan,
yes,
right?
Yes, beyond Konkan as well. And that's when I zeroed down to, you know, so then we
because like this Agri Koli masala is not Konkan, right?
It's not Konkan, yeah.
It's more like Dombivli and that sort of place.
Nagpur side of it. And we do have certain things like from Solapur as well. Like my mother is from Solapur, which is completely nothing to do with Kokan. And we have something called, you know, so the dhapate recipe comes from that side, right? Because I ate it as a child for breakfast.
Yeah, and
similar multigrain, and you know, so you know, a whole lot of these things. And that's where we were actually kind of thinking in the transition as to how do we do it. And that's when we said we will have three pillars, okay? We will have food and related kitchenware as one, and predominantly from Kokan. And the second will be women entrepreneurs, because that's where my mother-in-law's legacy and hard work has began, right? So I need to tie up to that. And, you
know, again, far thinking, because at that time, I think the women focus has come in more post the pandemic, the highlight on women and, you know, the home chef, home entrepreneurs.
Yes.
But people like your mom were already doing this 14 years back with local
women
and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the third is farmers. Because, you know, there's a lot of produce, you know,
and agriculture. Then
procuring more things. It was a completely different world for me. But then I actually started talking to farmers and, you know, visiting pre-pandemic, could visit some of the farms and meet the farmers. And they are such...
How was that experience like for a Shivaji Park, oven fresh girl to go and, you know, sit with farmers and stuff? How was that like?
I think it's very enriching, and I'm using this word on purpose, Kalyan, because, you know, you take things for granted too much when, you know, you're a city person born and brought up here, and your whole life is just a fast.
Yeah, you probably connect more with me, who's like a Bengali, but a city person, than, you know, someone in a village. I mean, right. You know, psychographically, you'll probably connect. Yeah. I mean, that's how we all are.
Yeah. So I think it's very different for them. Also, I think very little, but that did play a role for them. Was also very overwhelming for a female to come and talk to them, because perhaps
they were farmers or men. Yeah.
Men farmers, and I used to be like, "Nahi dada, bolu ya na apan, guys hello," you know, kind of a thing. And they used to call me or address
me. Wait, let me see. I'm joining this conversational Marathi class, but let me understand. So you're saying that what's the problem, dada? Speak to me.
Yeah, it's okay.
Like I'm not.
You can make out the, I mean, yes, that's good. You're already there.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. So those kind of things. So very different. From
so how would you make them open up? How would you make them sort of lose their sort of shyness or awkwardness and to open up? Because, you know, the things which you're talking to them are things which they know in and out, which they're very passionate about.
Yeah.
But they will not be able to speak
as
clearly as someone like you or I.
Nothing. Yeah.
With far less knowledge would be able to, but they are the ones with the knowledge. So how do you get them to open up?
So it was a difficult journey. I would definitely, thank my mother-in-law for a lot, because, you know, it was her credibility that kind of gave me that first push. You know, I could say that, I'm her daughter-in-law, and can we connect? So that makes it easier, you know, for the conversation to open up. But then they're like, okay, then why are we like, what do we want to understand? So as simple as, let's say I was procuring some cutters, knives, what we call as viri in Marathi, on which you
viri.
So on which you scrape the coconut, or, you know, on which you chop.
We call it boti in Bengal. Yeah.
Bengali, is it? Okay.
So in fact, I've seen the scraper. It's very similar to what we use as well.
Right.
Yeah, with the round thing.
Round and sharp kind of a thing. So when I started, obviously, as I said, I had no background. So it was very natural for me, because throughout in my mind, always the intent was, okay, I need to tell a story as how I would tell my friend, as why should you buy from Kokan Bazaar? So I used to ask them questions like, what wood is this? What blade is this? So maybe that was something very natural for the mother-in-law's generation, or, you know, for them, because they have grown and they know it. I may or may not have known it, right? And also as a consumer, when I put myself in a consumer's shoes, I need to know everything about it. If I have to, make it like really good and tell it to people, what are the pros and cons? Those kind of questions had started. So they used to always, I think, I'm sure, so there were less video calls, but I think I can imagine their faces as to what is she asking?
A stupid question she's asking. Yeah.
Why is she asking? And I used to be like, listen, I really don't know. But I used to Google and all, and I used to literally prepare. And my husband used to laugh that, you know, you're preparing to talk to a farmer or whoever. I said, yeah, because, you know, they should not feel disrespected.
Yeah.
Or, you know, anything of that sort. And why? Like, I used to, like, constantly keep Googling or ask my
friend. But, I can relate to something which you're saying, so I used to be in qualitative market research, and most of my work would be in automotives or hotels or finance with men. But occasionally, if they'd run short of, say, women moderators, they would send me for, like, you know, topics were not that sensitive, like Domex floor cleaners or parachute oil. And what would happen is that when the women would find me amongst them, then they would imagine that I know nothing about cleaning floors or hair on my oil. So in any case, they wouldn't think I'd know much, or cooking oil and stuff. And they would go out of the way to explain stuff. While if it was a woman moderator, they would sort of assume that, okay, what letter? She will know this. So, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, you know what I mean, and you know, things like that. And then I'm sure must have also probably, I tried not to rub anyone on the wrong side, but then I used to, you know, call them Kaka or Dada, and you know, because some of them were also very elder because they have worked with my mother-in-law, right?
Tell me a bit about this question can come into my mind when you were saying this, that in general, I mean, I know it's a generalization, but what's your observation about, you know, the gender dynamics when you go to rural Maharashtra or Konkan or places like that where you've gone to? Because, you know, generally one feels that maybe in the north of India it's more male dominated, south perhaps a bit more equal. Do you have a point of view on this? Like,
I think even in most part of Maharashtra, the rural Maharashtra, it is a little more male dominated.
Is that changing with education and politics, and you know that minimum percentage of women in panchayats and stuff like that? Is that changing? Or does your mother-in-law say anything? Because she's been seeing the state for years now. Does she feel
right? So she definitely feels a little bit of a change compared to now, because then there were vendors, right? And obviously I'll not name, but there was somewhere the female used to actually be working. But when it comes to dealing with the product, it was only the man who would talk.
And listen, all the modern Bombay entrepreneurs also say that. Like Pooja Dhingra was once saying, she would go for a meeting, but they would address everything to, say, the guy in the group. And when it came to signing the check, they say, who'll sign it? Then Pooja would say, I would, you know, laugh 50 to 50. I mean, let's not blame the poor village people on that. But,
yeah, so I think it was, I think, you know, it's just a matter of time. And I think things will change with the second generation even coming in there back in Konkan. But it does. And I think that's where probably I got a little bit of my, ways around them to get these women out. So I still remember I was talking to this guy and I said, can you give me a wife's number? I wanted to do something for Women's Day, you know, celebrate them, show them. And I just asked, can you give me her photo? And he's like, why do you need a photo? And then I realized, I need to, you know, it's very different in a corporate life.
Celebrating Women's Day.
And then I had to tell him, and he's like, what is this Women's Day? And, you know, why do you want? And I said, look, she's doing the hard work and all. So some things couldn't sail through. Then I tried something else. I very recently reached out to all my vendors and I said, can I know your birthdays? When are your birthdays? And they were like, why do you need her birthday? But this is something even my mother-in-law appreciated, because what happened, Kalyan, is I've recorded everyone's birthdays and then I wish them, I call them, I make it a point to, you know, stay in touch with them. Of course, on the festival times.
Yeah.
Diwali and all of that. But this birthday thing is a very small thing which I would have done in my corporate life years back, right? What we do. So these you have these birthday cards and you do things in Godrej or, you know, wherever, these other places. And probably it was a wow factor. I would like to believe it.
No, and the thing is that in rural India, birthdays are still not that recorded. And especially for women. I mean, it's changing now with schools and all of that. You know, for a lot of people, like say our grandmothers and all that, only after they were married that the husband gave a birthday, because you know, some form was required. Everything would be first of a particular month or last month.
And I have to be like, how come everyone is first? And
you know, what happened 9 months back? Why was everyone active on that thing?
So you know, these are all the learnings, they're all those enrichments that I was talking about. And then, you know, my dad explained me once that, you know, Devika, they don't really record birthdays, they don't have birth certificate where you and I have. That's why it's first of the month the person was born in. And I have to be like, okay. You know, so these are really learnings, right, Kalyan? I mean, you will not learn this in your MBA or your industrial psychology or, you know, these are learnings of life, I would say, or, you know.
The way you were sort of creating your products and so on. Because I remember when I was buying the Thali Peat mix, and Thali Peat is a sort of a multi-grain flatbed, so to speak. And you know, it has many millets and rice and so on, and the composition can sometimes change. And I remember sort of buying it in a very hot May afternoon. Yeah. And then, you know, one was perspiring and all that. And you were telling me that because it's summer, you've reduced the proportion of bajra, which is normally more a heat-inducing winter millet, which is there in the thalipeet. But because it's summer right now, you've reduced that in the batch. Yes. Yes. And you know, these sort of little nuances I found interesting. So apart from, say, this need for, branding and therefore the focus on the three pillars, which is food, women and farmers and Maharashtra, sort of around that. Are there any other, say, signs or this thing of modernity which you brought in? Like one, for example, you were talking of supply chain planning and with your husband, who's actually sort of an expert in that area. So anything else in, say, the technology bit or something like that, which you helped sort of bring into the business?
Most definitely food technology, and we are still on the scout of having a mentor in food technology or, you know, something like that. That's still kind of, I wouldn't say challenged, but, you know, always a area of improvement because, you know, it's very dynamic. A lot of food that we have is also based on the agricultural produce, right? Because as you rightly said, we don't just have raw material procured from there. We also have these twists and turns on those products, and we have innovative products in our store, right? So we did a lot of that. We documented a lot of recipes and standardized the formulas and the formulations. What allows us, and because our produce is fresh into small batches, especially of the atas and masalas, it allows us this flexibility of, you know, reducing the bajra or the methi proportion, as you rightly said, in summers and increasing them in winters or, you know, rains. So those kind of things. So we actually started documenting, so huge Excel files, started documenting them like that, right? You know, that this is how you would use it. This is what normally a thalipeet recipe would have, but we should use it this way.
And also when you're coming up with things like, say, a jamun chip, which is not, you know, traditionally there, like in terms of, so do you give the idea to someone and they create it, or do you connect them with the technology to create it? Because in a way you're an aggregator, so to speak.
Right.
And then you, under your umbrella, they're, you know, different independent producers. So this is in a way the cooperative model, sort of thing.
And we are trying to, that's what we do essentially. So certain products are, you know, what we do, right? Certain are raw, like grain sense of, which is just procured and,
like the different types of rice.
Different types of rice and the thought to that also. So I was talking to, you know, so one of my Hershey R&D head was very kind. I told him that, you know, I'm transitioning and all of that, and he said, because anytime you need any help, I'm always there. And then I asked him, do the grains, how do I store them? Because when you buy from the farmer, they have to be picked up in bulk, right? And so he's like, okay, you know, yes, your neem leaves adding will definitely make a difference, and not just more important. And, you know, he was telling us a lot of these things. So actually we tapped into all these contacts that we know in order to increase the shelf life of the product.
But that's true. You know, I have sort of bought rice products and flour products from you, you know, some folks who are in the Himalayas, Northeast, some folks who are based in the South. And then there is one particular sort of company among these where in all of the products, after a while, there have been sort of worms and all of that. You know, and we've had to sort of dispose it off. So I guess folks like you and some of the others also have figured out, like, you know, neem leaves and all of that.
I also got to know that why this happens, Kalyan. So, and this is when I was talking to the farmers, and I think we were breaking each other's head to understand this. So he said, your unpolished or organic things, the grain has a natural oil to itself, the organic or the unpolished grain. And because of the oil secretion or the oil on the grain, the pollens or whatever the small insects would be, they get attracted to it much faster, especially in humid weathers like this that we have in Mumbai today. So, you know, okay, then if that is the case, the farmer would tell me only that much. But then I have to reach out to someone as to how do I resolve it. And then we go back to them and tell them, can you do it? Some are middle-sized to large-sized, which are equipped enough to do it or, you know, adapt to that technology. And over the years, yes, we have also invested in them in terms of grooming them, kind of trying to have these contracts with them that, you know, we will give you the best practices and technology and, you know, you give us the authentic produce. See, quality is the most important thing, even if it's a little bit expensive if I'm getting it from them, right? So this is still like, you know, this is still going on. And that's our attempt where we give them certain expertise or the ideas and we groom them. And then we get things from them. So it's not just we buy things from Kokan, label it and sell it. It's not just that activity.
Yeah, it's all growing together.
It's all growing together, putting that thought, why are we procuring it? How can we make it better? Can we have a better shelf life? Can we have a better packaging? As simple as certain things used to be in plastic pouches. I got them into bottles and there was a huge resistance. I someone remember calling my mother-in-law and telling them why does she want it in bottles? And because mother-in-law was like, please, Devika, why do you want it? I'm saying, because it's more hygienic. Then there is a seal. Then there are wads to it. So it was an entire journey. And now, yes, even they are very supportive and the products speak for itself because the quality speaks for itself, right? So those kind of changes.
No, that's interesting. And, that made me think that, for so many years, people have worked with the company, with your mom and now with you. There must be, I'm sure there are many examples of people who, through this association, hi, Lof, my cat, just one second, I have to let him in. Yeah, can you see him? There he is.
Hello, my daughter would completely love him.
Yeah, he was saying hi to me from the window, so I had to let him in. So that there must be cases of families whose fortunes in a way have changed as they're working with you guys. Can you give me any example of that? Would be lovely to hear.
Yeah, I think it's nice to share because why not, to everyone? That's always been our philosophy. Yes, there has been this one woman who told me once, this Women's Day campaign that I was talking about when I asked her for the photo, and I had this small set of questions for everyone as to, was there anything Kokan Bazaar did that changed helped you? Those kind of typical questions.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Akalyan, she really was very genuinely talking to me with, I could see that in her eyes because she was someone who was here in Mumbai, so I could speak to her. It was my first salary that I got from Kokan Bazaar. She was someone who had lost her husband. With that money and whatever that she's earning from us over the years, she could educate her children. And, her son, when he got the first job, he came to meet us. Thank you so much, you guys were one of the main contributors to my mother's income.
Wow.
And I think it's like amazing.
And what did she do? What did she do with you guys? Or what did she create? Or what did she...
Yeah, so there are these certain atas or certain snacks that we get made from her, right? And I had reached out to her in terms of, how can we make it more better and things like that. So certain snacks is what she gives us. So there are people like that.
Then that's wonderful.
Yeah, there are people who are back in Kokan also who would give that, would say that, yes, there was a lot of support. And there's someone at this plastic and bottle example that I was telling you about. So ghee is what we get from Kokan, right? And there was huge resistance as to they said, why you want ghee in a bottle? It's in a plastic pouch. And I was like, it's hygienic or, a lot of it is wasted inside a plastic pouch. See, real challenges, right? And then he called me one day and he said, you know what? I have got a tremendous response now. I think everyone is liking it in bottles. Thank you for giving me this idea.
Because you're not the only person he sells to. So he's selling to.
And that is something what we have to, there are sometimes these are challenges. There are sometimes we will sell it only to us. But then as the economy grows and as people would want to grow, it's completely fair enough. Because at the end of the day, it's also about, you helping them and equipping them with these things.
And maybe you might not have that much demand.
Yeah.
And they might have more supply. So why be,
So I think these are these real-time challenges, but you have to, work around them. But I always strongly believe that this will work in our favor one day, right?
Absolutely.
Because as scales of economy increase, as our, whatever goals that we have on our card, this will happen. And they are well aware of it. So I think, that's the beauty about them, that they respect you for the thought or the support that you've provided them.
And are you seeing a change in your consumers? I mean, people are more people opening up to the sort of concept which you have? And
Yes, we are. And we would definitely want to increase it more now, just beyond the Marathi or the Kokan community or the population.
Is that more of your market, like not the cosmopolitan and all of that?
Touchwood, now over the last 2 years, definitely a lot of Cosmo crowd are coming to us and buying things. Online or even walking into our store. 2 to 3 years back, there was a lot. And that was one of the reasons why we wanted to rebrand and reposition it, right? Where we wanted to tell people that, you know, in the world of detrimental diets, you have these simple things available, very easily, no fuss, very affordable, very authentic, straight from the sources. And everything is made with a logic or, you know, some kind of thought behind it. So we do have a lot of cosmopolitan people coming to us, a lot of, you know, dietitians or food bloggers endorse us on their own, thinking that, okay, this is something really a good exercise that's happening. And, you know, we should encourage you. So a lot of well-wishers around like that. But of course, we would need more of them.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely super. So we sort of would love to keep chatting, but we're running short of time. But it's a tremendous achievement for you, your mom-in-law, the family, and the entire Kokan Bazaar family, so to speak. I mean, who've worked together, and I would even say your early consumers and so on. What next? What next for Kokan Bazaar? What can we expect to see?
Right. So, of course, thanks to our well-wishers and consumers, and, you know, there are some who have been with us for the last 14 years and recommending them, word of mouth has played the strongest in our case. So next would be definitely increasing, revamping our online presence in terms of, you know, ordering online and things like that to be accessible to more people, not just Maharashtra, India, but otherwise. We are fortunate we already have customers like these, but increase this database. Second is a lot of inquiries are coming to us for export-import. So, you know, probably expand. So expand basically Kokan Bazaar beyond our current flagship store based at Sena Bhavan. Be it more brick and mortar stores, be it online, be it exports, franchisee outlets and things like that. So planning to, so currently, you know, studying all these, working on the compliances.
Are you ending up working more than when you were in your corporate life?
Sometimes I think most of the times, yes. I think there's
no boss to complain to, no IR to complain.
Nothing. I mean, I'm the grievance management cell where everyone gets a leave except for you know, me. But I think these are formative years, these are transition years.
Yes.
So I need to, you know, do that hard work. And very fortunate to have my family's support, both from my parents' side and this side of the family to grow this. Keeping my fingers crossed to, you know, justify the true potential that Kokan Bazaar has.
No, that's wonderful. Sorry, I'm looking left to right because my elder cat came in first and now the younger one's like climbing all over the different things. Yeah. But on that note, may you guys also keep, you know, climbing the paths of success, and soon 14 year will become just one milestone in the way of many more. And I think that what you're doing is going to sort of bring the story of Maharashtra and that of the diversity which India stands for to a larger market, and is going to be an inspiration to many people in the city, in the state, across the country, and across genders. So best wishes to you, Devika, and the entire Kokan Bazaar, and happy 14th birthday. Happy 14th birthday.
Thank you, Kalyan. Yes, thank you. And a big thank you from the entire Kokan Bazaar family. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolute pleasure. So guys, I mean, like we said, in Mumbai, they are in Dadar at Shivaji Market. But you can also look up Instagram and place orders. And then they also have a list of prices. So it's all very clear over there. And you ship it across the city and all of that, right? Like you use delivery apps.
Even going abroad and sending parcels.
Yeah. Because once I remember we ordered on a very rainy evening, but you know, we put this thing at it with the delivery and all that, it was done. So great. And how will you celebrate on the 14th? Will it be with a lot of modaks or puran puri? Or will you go to Gypsy Chinese and do a proper Dada celebration?
We would do. I think we would have a nice meal at home as well. Celebrate, of course, with my team at Kokan Bazaar, who has also been a very important pillar in this entire journey. All of us, some great discounts pouring in for our customers and well-wishers, and hoping to have many, many, many more successful years for Kokan Bazaar.
Great. And next time we'll do the interview, we'll do it in Marathi.
Marathi. Most definitely. Nakkits.
Okay, bye.
All right. Thank you, Kalyan. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.